Good afternoon, everybody. Hope you're all doing well. Welcome back to another episode of Blockchain and Beyond. As always, I'm your host, Farzan. Apologies if you hear any voice cracks. I've got a bit of a sore throat, but hopefully it should be fine. So today we're going to talk about Bitcoin, and in particular, we're going to be talking about two upgrades to Bitcoin. So the first is Taproot, which happened a while back, and the second one is called Tarl, which is a more recent upgrade which has been proposed and actually has quite a lot of benefits. So I'm going to go into a bit of the background of Bitcoin before Taproot. Then I'll actually discuss what Taproot is, the impact of Taproot, the kind of benefits that it's brought to the entire network. And then that actually leads directly into Tarl and some of its benefits. So to get started, so before Taproot, which was I think about a year or two ago, Bitcoin suffered from slow transactions relative to now. This is because each digital signature had to be validated individually. So if there was a number of transactions, each signature had to be validated for each of those transactions. And these transactions didn't have much privacy, so the transaction types weren't differentiated. And this is in particular relating to single signature and multi-signature transactions. So this means that anyone using a multi-sig wallet didn't have any privacy to denote the fact that they were using a multi-sig wallet. But these were basically the two main factors affecting Bitcoin were slow transactions and less privacy. Then we step into what is Taproot. So Taproot was the first major upgrade to Bitcoin since 2017. So there was about a 4-year gap between 2017 and 2021 where there weren't any major upgrades. And Taproot consisted of three Bitcoin improvement proposals, also known as BIPs or BIPs. And these three are BIP 340. So this one in particular implemented faster transaction validation and also obscures any private information. So they basically aggregate transactions and verify them as a batch rather than individually, which makes the transactions a lot faster. It also reduces the amount of space each transaction takes, but I'll get into that a bit shortly. And then the second BIP that we have is 341, and this reduces the smart contract data usage. So this means that less data is actually stored on the blockchain and in the smart contracts, which makes the system a lot more scalable. And there's also BIP 342, and this just enables easier implementation of future upgrades. So it was an upgrade that was looking forward to the future and which enables, you know, these new upgrades to happen a lot more quickly and a lot more smoothly with, you know, potentially less downtime or less technical steps required to actually implement them. And the impact of Taproot was actually really huge. So the biggest thing for me personally was cheaper transaction fees. And this was a direct result of BIP 340. So there was more transactions per block. This is because each transaction took up less space. And if you can have more transactions per block, you end up with cheaper fees. So each of your transactions would cost less. The second big benefit was the increased privacy. And again, this is a result of BIP 340. And the main thing being that it's no longer possible to differentiate between single signature and multi-signature transactions, apart from the parties who are involved in these transactions to begin with. And this is quite important because perhaps you may have a cold wallet or a hardware wallet, and you don't want your transactions to be identified as being a single signature or a multi-signature transaction. And that's kind of just a general security practice, I guess. And the smart contract scalability was the third big impact. And this is particularly as a result of BIP 341. So there's less data being committed to the blockchain. So before this upgrade, all of the data would be stored on the blockchain. But as a result, it would be a lot more limited. And only certain outcomes of data would actually be deployed onto the blockchain and through the smart contracts. And then this directly leads us into Tarl. And Tarl stands for Taproot Asset Representation Overlay. So this is an upgrade which primarily enables the creation of alternative assets on Bitcoin. And one of the examples which I'm going to use is Lightning USD or LUSD. And this is taken from an example by Lightning Labs themselves. And it enables USD and BTC denominated balances within wallets. So within a Bitcoin wallet, you can see your balance in Bitcoin, which you would generally see, but you would also be able to see the balance in USD, which is perhaps more useful for people who are using this on a day-to-day basis. And as most things are still priced in US dollars, this is quite a useful upgrade. And it also leverages the Lightning Network to actually route these assets from one place to another. And I've done an episode on the Lightning Network as well, but for anyone who's unfamiliar, it's basically a self-upgrades where you can create channels between different nodes and you can actually send Bitcoin through these channels, and these have very little transaction costs compared to traditional Bitcoin transactions, and it actually increases the speed. So Lightning Network transactions happen within seconds, and then these transactions are all grouped up and deployed or written to the blockchain at a later date. So one of the big use cases outlined by Lightning Labs has actually been about stable coins on Bitcoin via Taro, right? And the main justification of this is to accelerate the adoption of Bitcoin, especially in Latin America and Africa. And this is because we've seen a lot of countries in both of these areas increase their adoption of Bitcoin. So we've seen El Salvador, we've seen Mexico, I think we've seen also Nigeria show a lot of interest in actually using Bitcoin. And the stablecoins would prove as a stepping stone for countries to issue assets on Bitcoin. And by that, I primarily mean their own stablecoins, but there's also a lot of other use cases which can be developed going from this. And because it uses the Lightning Network to route these assets, the liquidity for these assets only needs to exist in the first and the last hop. And if you're watching along on YouTube, there will be a little image that I've taken from the Lightning Labs post about Taro. And what this can enable things like foreign exchange. So if, you know, there are different stable coins on the Lightning Network, for example, USD and Euros, for example, you can algorithmically develop exchange rates for these assets, which means that you no longer have to have exchange rates or foreign exchange transactions happening through centralized bodies. You can actually have all of these transactions happening through the Lightning Network itself, which is a much more decentralized and faster way to actually carry these transactions out. So there's a lot of big use cases that can be developed as a result of the Taro upgrade. So to kind of wrap it up, so Taproot itself has done a great deal to actually improve the scalability of Bitcoin, in particular how much data is being stored and used and how transactions are verified and validated. So that increases the scalability but also reduces the cost of transacting on Bitcoin, which has probably been the biggest thing for me, right? Even though I, you know, very rarely send transactions, and when they are, it's from an exchange to, you know, my wallet. It actually helps because you can see how little the costs actually are, where the costs end up being, you know, only a few pence. Another benefit is that Taro could see Bitcoin-backed assets such as stablecoins. That's something that we've kind of discussed. And it can also bring DeFi and arbitrage opportunities on chain. So this is more relating to things like foreign exchange or issuance of other tokens, for example, treasury-backed tokens, which are backed by BTC. So there's a lot of good use cases that can come out of it. And that's basically all I've got for today. It's a bit of a short episode. I got back from holiday early this week on like Thursday, and I've got a bit of a sore throat, not been feeling 100%. But I still wanted to get this out because I think it's, you know, super interesting, and I would like to see how it develops as well. So yeah, as always, you can find me on all my socials. I'll include the links in the description or you can see them on screen. But yeah, thank you very much and I'll speak to you soon. Goodbye.